you're listening to AM Hodgepodge with Keith Weltons and Mark Tapp, and our special guest today is Kyle Bailey.
That's it.
And was that song alluding to the fact that he's breaking hearts?
Yeah, he is. Absolutely. Snapping necks and breaking hearts.
Oh, you're full of it, Keith Weltons.
Kyle, you made an announcement this week and want to say that you're going to be missed here at the station, but congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it. And thank you for having me. Yeah. This is a long time coming. I've actually been offended to this point that Keith hasn't asked me yet.
So. That's not true.
He's been saving it for the best time. That's not possible. True.
Yeah, so welcome. Good morning. You're listening to AM Hodgepodge, WFNR 710. And with us, we do have Kyle Bailey, and he is the host of Super Sports, The Clubhouse on 101.7. And over the last, year plus, you've been involved in everything from Christiansburg High School sports to Virginia Tech to obviously the only local sports live radio. And then you also help with the Pulaski Yankees now. So, I mean, you've had a hand in a lot of different things, and
I like to work.
Who the heck is going to take all that over?
I don't know. I like to work. I will say this. It's been a pleasure, and I've loved every second of it. This is home, so this has been fun.
Yeah. So tell us how you got kind of involved on all of this, because when you certainly look at not only that, but then the things that you've been involved as far as your education, you're hard-pressed to find the time.
How I got into radio is a funny story. I'm getting old now, but I guess about 11
years.
Yeah,
does it have anything to do with the geospatial degree?
No, it doesn't. I'm a mess, man. So about 10, 11 years ago, I'd gotten accepted at Virginia Tech, and I was walking around campus with my parents, and I had been accepted into the communication department. And I said, you know what? I don't think I want to do that anymore. I said, I think I want to go to law school. So mom says, are you sure about that? And I said, yeah, I think I want to go to law school. And she said, all right, well, what are you going to do? I said, well, I guess I'll just change my major to political science. So we went over to the poli-sci building. I got all the paperwork. I filled it out to transfer into the poli-sci department and turned it in. And about 2 months into the semester, maybe not even quite that long, I just happened to check my student account stuff to see what it said, and it still had me registered as a comm student. And I said, well, that's not right. So I called over there and I said, how come this hasn't happened yet? She said, oh, we never got any paperwork from you. So I said, oh, I don't want to fill that paperwork out again. I'll just stay
where I am. You didn't lawyer it up?
No.
You didn't say, I sue you.
No, I was a lazy college freshman, so I just said, oh, hell with it. I'll just stay where I am. It's not that big a deal. And so from that point forward, it was just like, no one was going to pay me to play ball. That wasn't going to happen. And I was in a couple of comm classes, and I thought, you know what? I talk too much, and I like sports. So let's go see what's going on in sports radio. So I just walked into to another sports radio department, and I just said, I want a job. And later that week, I was doing high school football, and I've kind of never looked back since.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's very easy to see. You're extremely comfortable behind the mic, and we're going to talk about some of the new things that you're going to be doing, which will involve television. But your comfort level certainly comes across. And one of the things that you did was actually introduce not only myself to radio and this end of the radio, not just listening all the time, but even Mark. I mean, you're the reason we're here. So we have you to blame for all of it.
How do we get out of this?
Yeah. But your introduction to it certainly was one in which the way that you came across made it, yeah, we could do this too. And it is hard, right? It is hard, and you do have to prep for it. And sometimes when you don't prep, it shows.
Oh, it always shows.
Yeah, but what really happens is that it does expand your mind. It expands the type of conversations that you can have. And so from an intellectual standpoint, it's very stimulating. When we talk about all of the degrees and your higher education that you've done, I mean, you didn't just stop after one. You've continued to get additional degrees, and yet none of those or are really in the area of sports. So how did you make that?
It was interesting because, first of all, the second degree came about because I knew I wanted to go back to grad school. And I knew what I wanted to do it for, but I wasn't quite qualified to get in there. So I had to take some extra classes, some geospatial stuff. And honestly, the geospatial stuff, the GIS stuff, was sort of a, hey, if all else fails, if I fall flat on my face in the radio television business, I've got something that I can fall back on. But I also like it a lot. You know, I love maps. I love geography. And so what ended up happening was I went back, and I want to throw a shout out to my guy, Bob Oliver, who is my my graduate school advisor, become a good friend of mine. He's become one of the world's leading authorities on sporting mega events and the Olympics in Toronto. He's been featured in the Boston Globe articles for the past couple of weeks about the Boston ordeal. Mm-hmm. He's a professor over at Virginia Tech. And so I got to go back, and I got my certificate that says, hey, I actually have real tangible skills for gainful employment. Yeah, I can do some things if I can't talk anymore on the radio. But also, he just looked at me and he said, look, you work in sports, you work in media. You know, there's a human geography side of this stuff. Why not just do your research from your point of strength, from your wheelhouse? So they sent me down to Brazil to the World Cup. And I got to look at the convergence of sports and politics and sporting mega events as these drivers of urban renewal, you know, and urban transformation, and, you know, the social aspects of it, the activists that were there, the citizen journalists that were pushing back against this. And it was so cool. And I think it's so important to be well-rounded in all aspects of life. And so I guess that's really what it stems from for me, is that I have an inherent enthusiasm for learning. And I guess that's... it manifested itself in the form of too much college. I don't know. I mean, probably so.
You can never have too much, right?
Yeah.
But you say that play-by-play is your passion.
Yeah.
And it seems to me that that would be also probably the most difficult form of broadcasting, because you really got to be – you almost have to know what's happening before it happens.
Yeah, it's interesting, because I actually think it's more – I think this is harder.
Really?
I do. I think this is harder. I think if you get enough reps calling a game, and if you're competent, you know, you can at least mechanically call a game. Because what do people tune into a game to hear, right? They're tuning in to hear the score,
touchdown.
If it's football, down and distance, you know, how much time's left in the game, you know, the occasional allusion to what's at stake. There are some very key mechanical things that play-by-play broadcasters have to do. And then everything else is somewhat superfluous, right?
Yeah. I mean, a real talented announcer can create a picture so that as a listener without the visual, I can make that. I can see the game. Yeah. I see what actually happened.
And that's what's so different about radio and this next challenge in television, is that people are going to be watching the games that I'm calling. So I don't have to be quite as descriptive. Yeah. You know, I don't have to be. You've got the visual aid of the game there in front of you. So for me, television becomes more about, you know, how much research have you done? You know, how many of the anecdotal stories can you tell behind the scenes? You know, how many of the stats can you dig up and make them tell a story? Because you don't need me to tell you that some quarterback just threw a 50-yard touchdown pass. You just saw it. Why does it matter, and what does it mean in the grand scheme of things? That's when it becomes difficult. And Kevin Harlan, you watch a lot of basketball, mm-hmm. Keith. Kevin Harlan talked about the difference between prepping for radio and prepping for TV, right? Because he does both. And he said, I have to prep 10 times harder for television, because when they have that visual aid, they don't need me describing down and distance.
Yeah.
So I'm excited for that new challenge.
Yeah. That's one of the things that we're going to kind of end this segment, and then we'll come back. We want to cut this into two parts. But clearly you're moving from the local market, and you've been involved with Virginia Tech. And we understand that we lost Bill Roth, or Bill Roth received an upgrade. We had Bill Roth, the voice of the Hokies, for, what was he, 25 years? 27 years. So 27 years. And anyone who either watched his show or read his articles or heard him on the radio understands what a master he was at presenting both sides. So he wasn't dyed in the wool, and in fact he wasn't a Virginia Tech grad. So, you know, I think he was a Syracuse grad.
He very much became an honorary Hokie. He loves Virginia Tech, but you're right in that he didn't. You know, when you listen to a lot of these home team broadcasts, you pick up on it right away. The homerism is very evident.
Yeah.
But with Bill, it was that if you listened, you knew where his allegiances lied,
right?
But he was always – it was almost a network type of delivery with the broadcast, that he's going to tell you what's happening, and he'll leave it to Burnham, you know, to do, you know, a lot of the cheering and a lot of the rah-rah stuff. And that's not to say Burnham's not great, because I think he's awesome at his job.
Right.
But that wasn't Bill's role.
Yeah, but he's grown up in the program, played, and just transferred into the media.
Right.
But during that process, or during that time – of when his announcement was made and IMG and Virginia Tech announced that there was going to be a search for the next voice, you were a part of that search also. You became part of that conversation, and it was a very vocal local allegiance that said, man, this guy, the concern was that you were going to be lost to this area anyway at some point. So there's your kudos to you. Right? I'll pat you on your own back. And so maybe we can kind of tie you up into that Virginia Tech arena today. The, you know, obviously the interviews went through and different things all played themselves out. But that process of you being inserted into that conversation, what, if any, did that have on your now move to television in a different market? Did it either get you thinking about it, or was there a connection but from someone else that was made?
No, it was great. That's actually a really good question because you know, there are some folks that would believe that I didn't that I'm leaving because I wasn't selected for that job. It's actually kind of true, but not in the sense that some people believe. I'm not bitter that I didn't get the job.
Sure.
I'm not upset about that. It was simply that they hired a really, really talented guy in John Lazor,
sure,
who I've come to like a lot. He's
right.
A great guy. I think Texans,
and you've interviewed him, and it's apparent that you do like him.
I do. I like him a lot. We have a lot of mutual friends who speak nothing but just glowingly about this guy. So I'm a big fan already. But what it did do for me was open my eyes and reminded me that I got into this business to begin with years ago, mm-hmm, to be a play-by-play man. And if I'm going to do it, why am I still sitting in a studio doing talk radio every day?
You know,
as much fun as it is, if that's what I really want to do, then why am I not out calling games full time? And so it reminded me of that, and the position that I just took with the Hampton Roads Sports Network out on the other side of the state is a position that John just vacated, that he just left.
Cool.
You know, and so it was just a good opportunity for me to get back on the path that I originally set out on. And I'm grateful for John's guidance in all of this. He actually has been huge in setting me up and meeting, or you know, allowing me to meet the network head and, you know, giving me an endorsement, which, you know, a lot of guys wouldn't do, even after knowing you for years, much less a couple of months. But, you know, John was willing to do that. And so I'm very grateful for him. But, yeah, it's one of those things where this is home. I love being involved with Virginia Tech. I will continue to be involved with Virginia Tech because I'll be back on the weekends to do my pregame radio duties at Lane Stadium. But it's time for me to get back out, take this next challenge, and you know, when that next big play-by-play gig comes around, then you know, we'll see what happens.
Well, we appreciate you sticking around because we're going to go ahead and hold you over for another
no doubt
segment. All right, and we're going to mix it up a little bit. We also have a couple quizzes for you and some other stuff.
Nice.
So
I like it.
Shotgun quiz.
Yeah. I like it. Let's do it.
All right. Well, you've been listening to AM Hodgepodge. Stick with us. We'll be right back.
About your work, how your boss is a jerk. We talk about your church and your head when it hurts. We talk about the troubles you've been having with your brother, about your daddy and your mother and your crazy ex-lover. We talk about your friends and the places that you've been. We talk about your skin and the dimples on your chin, the polish on your toes and the run in your holes, and God knows we're gonna talk about your clothes. You know, talking about you makes me smile. But every once in a while,